together, and it was, I think, late one night, and we were talking, and after a long day, and that's one thing in Guatemala, they were long days, weren't they, Mark? We got up early and stayed up late preaching and singing and working, and Dr. Johnson, my good friend, was there, and I asked him about coming today and speaking to you all and doing the main address today for this class, and he said, you know, I think I have that day off, and so he's come today, but he's a great friend. He's opened doors for me to go on two mission trips, and really more than that, but he's traveled all over the world, and he's got some great stories about what the Holy Spirit has done in literally every part of the world. In fact, he and another pastor that was in Guatemala left Guatemala and went to another, I don't know, where did you go? Belize. And they had no hotel, they had no agenda, and they just knew there was a part that needed the gospel, and flew into the Belize and began to minister. And he said, I think there were like five engagements there after they got there unannounced. And so I thought, what a privilege it would be to have him come today and address this class. And so would you make my good friend and servant of the Lord, Dr. Jeff Johnson, welcome today.
Have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. I want to thank you for allowing your pastor and Mark to join in the team in Guatemala. There's two things I want to say. First of all, everywhere your pastor went, he sang and they loved him. I am thoroughly convinced we could probably have a concert with Pastor Jack as the main attraction. We'd have every Guatemalan there. We were at churches and he would sing, and they were clapping their hands, and they were wanting CDs, and just did an awesome job. And then I want to say something about Mark. Mark was always the first one up. He was always one of the last ones to go to bed. He was a servant to us. And he did an awesome job. And both of these men should be commended for the grace of God at work in their life. Today, though, we are here to celebrate graduation. Commencement. Graduation is kind of that final touch to your accomplishment, but it's really a commencement. It's the beginning of what happens after this graduation. And so to Aaron and Scott and Haley and William and Megan and Sarah and Kyle and Ashley, you are equal to the task. You are equal to the task. From God's Word, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, starting with verse 12, the Apostle Paul is writing to the Corinthian church. He says, "Now when I went to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ and found that the Lord had opened a door for me, I still had no peace of mind because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I said goodbye to them and went on to Macedonia." If you're interested to know where this story fits in the rest of Scripture, you can find this in Acts chapter 16. Verse 14 continuing. "But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him. For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one we are the smell of death, to the other the fragrance of life. And who is equal to such a task? You are. You are. Unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, in Christ, we speak before God with sincerity, like men sent from God. May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His holy word. Who is equal to the task? We are all equal to the task. When we have put our faith in Jesus Christ, when we have submitted to Him in sincere love, when we have humbled ourselves in holy obedience, we are equal to the task. God will take us to places we never even imagined. God will work in us and do things we never even thought of. God is greater than even our wildest dreams. And I guarantee you, those on the front row here have some wild dreams, don't you? Am I right? Oh, yeah, I read the bio too. We are equal to the task because God is in us. We are equal to the task because God is moving through us. That's why we're equal to the task. Now, when Paul wrote this letter, he said something very interesting. He says, in verse 14, he says, "Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal possession." Paul is thinking back to this event that happened in Rome when a victorious general would come back from conquering the land. The general would come back and he would lead this parade through Rome and they'd bring in the captives that they had conquered and they would have the slaves and they'd have all the spoils of war, the gold and silver and all that. And the general walked through Rome and this was his procession. It was a triumph. Well, Paul uses this image to tell us that Christ leads us in a triumphal procession. Christ leads us. And that's the first thing I want you to realize today on your commencement Sunday. Christ is leading you. Now, for Christ to lead you, you need to follow. Kind of a simple thing. There's one leader and many followers. But as Christ leads you, there'll be adventure. There'll be surprises. Some big surprises. And there will be glory and honor to God. Christ leads us. You know, of all the things that we can declare ourselves to be, friends of God, disciples of Christ, followers of Christ, Paul uses later on this image of a slave to Christ. You see, when the Roman general went through Rome, he had the slaves behind him. This was his victory. We are slaves to Christ. It is Christ who leads us. We follow. But we don't have to have chains on our hands or on our feet. We don't have to have a collar around our neck. We are slaves because we want to be slaves. We are slaves because we love the Master and we want to follow Him. John Wesley, every year, had a worship service on December 31st. And he would have this worship service and pray this prayer about God leading him, about Jesus Christ leading him. Listen to what he prayed every December 31st. He would say, "Dear Lord God, put us to what You will. Rank us with whom You will. Put us to doing. Put us to suffering. Let us be employed for You, or laid aside for You, exalted for You, or brought low for You. Let us be full. Let us be empty. Let us have all things. Let us have nothing. We freely and heartily yield all things to Your pleasure and to Your disposal." That's a tough prayer. Yeah, I'm pretty happy with God. Exalt me. I like that. But God, humble me? God, give me all things. Give me nothing? But when Christ leads, that has to be our prayer. When Christ leads us, He is in charge. And I'd rather trust Him than 1,000 others. I would rather trust Him than trusting myself. So Paul says Christ will lead us. Then Paul, using this same image of this procession, talks about how we are the aroma of Christ. That to some people, as we walk by, we smell like life. And they see God in us. And they're drawn to Christ working in us. And they want more of what we have. But to others, we are the smell of death. And when we come into the room and people see that there's something different about us, when they see that we are a people of faith, a people of mercy, a people of God, they are angry because they don't want to have God anywhere in their life. And so wherever Christ leads us, we're going to have this aroma of Christ in our lives. We're going to smell like life to some people and death to others. Not everyone you meet will be happy to meet you. Remember when Christ was on the cross? Two thieves. One of them hurling insults at Christ even as all three men were dying. And not only hurling insults, he was ridiculing Christ. He was mocking him. He says, if you really are the Messiah, well, you know what they'll say to you. If you really are a Christian, some of you are going to be going to secular campuses, good schools, but some people there might not be happy to meet you. And when you walk into a room, some people are going to say, I want what she has. And you don't have to say a word. Because God's presence will be all over you because you are being led by Christ. And then when you walk in a room, some people are going to say, what does he think he is? And they will hate the very God you serve. Remember the two thieves. Two choices. One, you can curse God and ridicule Him, but the other, you can turn to God, as the second thief did, and said, Lord, we are guilty. We're getting what we deserved. But would you remember me? And Jesus said, today, my brother, you will be with me in paradise. The aroma of Christ. Now it's very interesting when Paul wrote this. He was on his way. He wanted to go to Troas and preach the gospel. In fact, he really felt like there was an open door for him to preach. And he starts to go there and the Holy Spirit says, no, don't go there. That's a pretty amazing, but you find this in Acts 16. It's a pretty amazing statement. The Holy Spirit saying, no, don't go and preach. Later, Paul tries to go another route, and the Spirit of Jesus stops him from going. And then one night, he has this dream. We call it the Macedonian dream, and the man says, come over to where we are. So Paul gets up the next morning. He gathers together his friends. He says, what do you think about this dream? And they say, we think it's God speaking to you. So they get up, and they go into Macedonia. They go into Philippi. They gather together at this river for prayer, and they lead a woman named Lydia to Christ. A few days later, they're going through the marketplace and there's a fortune teller, a woman who's using demonic spirits, and Paul turns to her and silences her and casts the spirit out of her. And the people are so angry, particularly her owners, because he just lost a bunch of money in this. So they had Paul and Silas arrested, they were flogged, they were thrown in a Philippian jail. And at midnight, they were singing hymns in Latin at midnight, and the earth shook and the cell doors came open and God's presence was manifested right there. None of the prisoners left. In fact, the jailer was about ready to kill himself because he thought, I've lost all the prisoners, they're running away. And he's about ready to do himself in. And Paul says, we're all here, we're just having church, don't worry about it. And then he leads the Philippian jailer and his family to Christ, and they are baptized as the sun rises on that town. The aroma of Christ. For some, it's a smell of life. For some, it's the smell of death. But everywhere you go, every step you take, every room you enter, every town you go to, when you're on airplanes, buses, or trains, no matter where you are, the presence of God is with you. Because you are being led by Christ. And the aroma of Christ will be with you. And then finally, Paul says, he says, not everyone who says they are Christian are Christian. You have a great church here. I got a half an amen. Should I work that one again, Pastor Jeff? Okay. Yeah, you have a great church here. It's better. And you have men and women here who love Jesus Christ and have walked with you in this journey of faith. And they are proven to be faithful and true. But not everywhere you go, not everyone who calls himself Christian is Christian. And that invitation by your pastor to call him whenever you need him, ask him if you can make the call collect. Because not everyone is who they say they are. Paul says, we don't peddle the Word of God. We don't sell the gospel like some people do. We are out here because we love God. And then he says one of the most awesome things. We are here because we are sent by God. You're 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 sent by God. You are sent by God. And you are sent by God. Now, what does that mean? That means we got to listen. And we got to move when God says move. And we got to stop when God says stop. And we got to realize that when we're on this journey, it doesn't matter. It doesn't really matter how the destination ends. We know what the destination is. What matters is we are sent by God so that right here, right now, today, this counts. Today is the day the Lord has made. Today is the day of salvation. Right here, right now, we have been sent by God. No one else. We are here. We have been sent by God. It's not how you're going to spend eternity, it's how you're going to live today. That's what matters. Well, Pastor Jack said that we had a good time in Guatemala. We did. We preached over 22 worship services in about 5 days. And then on top of that, Pastor Jack and Mark were construction. God bless them. They were making the concrete by hand, basically. And then we went to Belize. And Belize is a small country. It speaks English in Central America. Has about 250,000 people. It was a British colony since 1981. I've never been to Belize. I don't know anyone in Belize. I don't know any churches in Belize. Pastor Jack was right. We just jumped on an airplane. We arrived in Belize. We had no hotel, no friends, no car, nothing. The first hotel we found out when we got to Belize that they were doing military movers with the British and United States and the Netherlands. And so the first hotel we went to said, we're totally sold out. We're like, oh. So we went to the next hotel. It was an old French house. And so we walked in, no air conditioning in the lobby, and we're thinking, oh, I mean, Belize was hot. We got in there and we said, the first question I asked, please, ma'am, tell me you have air-conditioned rooms. She said, yes, sir, every room is air-conditioned. And I said, do you have satellite TV? She says, 150 channels. I said, sign us in. And so the first day we just rested up. The next morning we went and we rented a Jeep. And we were going to, we got ourselves a map, and you can drive the whole Belize in one day. I mean, you can just circle it several times, actually. And so we got this Jeep, and 10 minutes after we got this Jeep, we're driving down the road, and we're going to make a turn, and we get hit. I mean, I'm about to turn the wheel, and you hear the screech, and you hear this car hit us, and we're sitting there. I was with Pastor Alex Castaneda, and we're sitting there, and we're just like, and so we get out, and there's police there already, like three police officers, and the guy who hit me was Chinese, and we get out, and we look, and I swear, you can ask Pastor Alex if you ever see him. We get out, and there's no damage to our car. There's no damage to our Jeep. He hit our front. As I was turning, he hit our front tire. And there was no damage. And so the police are looking at it. And they're looking at me. And I'm just standing there. And they're looking at the guy who hit me. And they said, well, no damage, no ticket. And they took off. And so I said to the guy, I said, hey, thanks for hitting us. We'll see you later. Bye. And so this is 10 minutes after we get the rental car. And so we keep on driving. We drive all the way. We were driving north towards Mexico. You don't get to hear that often, do you? We're driving north towards Mexico. And we got to the last large town in Belize called Orange Walk Town. And we were just looking for a church. We didn't know what church. We didn't have a name. We didn't have any group. We're just looking for someone to talk to. And we drive all the way through this town called Orange Walk Town. And in fact, we're on the edge, we're on the north side of town. The Mexican border is about 18 miles away. And I'm about ready to turn back around because we didn't find a church. And I'm about ready to turn back around, and I look up, and there's the word temple is what they use a lot in Spanish for their churches. There's a temple just two more buildings down. So I said to Pastor Alex, let's just pull in. So we pulled in. The pastor was coming out at that moment. His name is Joel Castaneda, the same as the pastor I was with. Alex Castaneda. And he said, what are you guys doing here? And we said, we're looking for a church and a pastor to talk to. About what? And we said, just about what God's doing. And we ended up spending 2.5 hours with him. And at one point, I said to this pastor, I said, Pastor, I think I have a word for you. You see, he was a pastor, came out of a traditional church setting, and now has a church of about 500 there, and oversees 4 other churches with another 1,000 members, and he's working in Honduras. And I said to him, I said, Pastor Joel, I said, I think this is what God is saying to you. God has brought you to this place. God has sent you to connect the old and the new, to speak the old church language and the new church language, to bring the church out of Egypt into the promised land. And Pastor Joel just kind of got choked up, and he said, I needed that word. I needed that word. And we ended up having time of prayer together, and he said to Pastor Alex and I, he says, when are you coming back to Belize? And I said, we said, maybe November. He says, listen, I have 5 churches in Belize, but I have 40 churches in Honduras. He says, I would like you to come back, and I'd like us to have a conference together. And I would like us just to get together and see what God is doing. Can you come back and have this conference with us? Sent by God. You ever go to a country you've never been before? Get hit 10 minutes after you get rent a car? No scratch, nothing. I mean, the police are there. I'm thinking, we're going to get arrested. I'm thinking just like it's Paul. We're going to spend the night in jail. We'll be singing songs in Spanish in Belize. Sent by God. And everywhere you go, the aroma of Christ is on you. And everywhere you go, you are led by Jesus Christ Himself. Are you equal to the task ahead? You know what I love about graduation? There is this wonderful lull in your life. For about 3 weeks, you think you're the king or queen of the world. Actually, now I'm speaking to parents. And what happens is you watch your son or daughter and you think, are they ever going to do anything again? It's like you've made it, you know? And let me give you a secret. It gets better the more times you graduate. After your college degree, you can actually take a whole month off and no one will say anything. When you get your master's, oh man, you can take a couple of months. I got my doctorate. I took the summer off. I was like, I'm the king of the world. Parents, that stage will fade. Thank God it will fade. When you're done celebrating, and I do want you to celebrate, we want you to celebrate. When you're done celebrating, remember that you are equal to the task ahead. Amen. Let's pray. Holy Father, we praise you and thank you for today. And Lord, I thank you for these young people who sit before us, whom we just love and we care about so much. And Lord, we've seen them grow up, and Lord, we've seen them face trials, and Father, we've seen them have ups and downs, and Father, today we are honoring what you have done in their lives, and Father, honoring, Father, their graduation, their hard work, their perseverance, Father. It was not necessarily an easy road to get here. Father, many sacrifices made by parents and grandparents and friends and family. But Father, today we stop and we just celebrate. And Father, we also remember that these young people are equal to the task ahead. That it's a new beginning. And that wherever they go, you will lead them. Wherever they go, they will have the fragrance of Christ. Wherever they go, they will be sent by you. Father, bless them. Bless them and keep them. Father, make your face shine upon them and be gracious unto them. And Lord, give them your peace now and forever. Now while we're in an attitude of prayer, I want to ask the rest of you
two or three things that has meant something to me. And this little thing is, each of you will have one of these in your book that we're giving you today. And I hope you'll either write it down on something and abbreviate it on a card, or maybe just leave it in the book and every once in a while pull it out and look at it. But in 1 Corinthians 4:15 it says, even though you have 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I became your father through the gospel. And you have been some wonderful children to pastor. As I watched you grow, and I see you behind the scenes sometimes as well. I remember one night Megan and Spencer was up here when we were doing some reconstruction and renovating, and they helped us unload just piles and piles of tile and boxes. And all of you have stories like that where you've come and worked in behind the scenes as well as on the stage and in the sound booth and the computer. And so it's been a privilege to pastor you all and watch you grow. And some of you have been here for a long time. And I've watched you mature from little children into mature adults. And I love to see Jesus Christ in you and through you. Let me give you three quick things before we have Dr. Johnson come. And I want to tell you this. This is one of the keys to life, I believe. Decide to be a lifelong learner. You may go through college. You may get your doctorate. But be a lifelong learner. Charlie Tremendous Jones said this, and I thought it's a powerful statement. He said, in 5 years from today, you'll be exactly who you are, except for two things: the books you read and the people you meet. And so decide today that I'm going to hang out with great books and great people, because they'll influence your life in some capacity. In fact, today in your graduation gifts sacks, you'll find there's a book in there that I picked out. Our secretary was going shopping. I said, let me pick out their books today. And in your book, it's Each Day Deserves a Chance. It's by Max Licato. And I don't know if you've ever read Max before, but I hope you get hooked on Max, because he's a great author, and it's a great book, and it gives you little things that he's learned over the years. So decide to be a lifelong student. Number two, wherever you are, be there. Sometimes when you're in college, you'll be thinking about your career, and you'll be thinking about, but don't get too caught up in the future, and live every day. Every day, get up and say, God, this is a day that you've given me. It's a blank page. And so today, you've got some great and exciting things for me to do, and I want to be a part of that, and make me a blessing today. And so be there. Enjoy the college experience. Enjoy the job that you're on tomorrow. You may start by flipping burgers, or you will definitely start at the bottom of the chain when you join a company or a business. But enjoy that day. Enjoy that day. That's meant so much to me, to just to learn to be in the day. And then finally, number three, plan your life and then work your plan. Very few people ever drift into success. Success comes as you plan. And so we ought to have a plan for your career. You ought to have a good stewardship plan for your finances and where it's going, because it will go. You ought to have a plan for your relationships and building strong relationships. And finally, have a plan for your physical health as well. A lot of business executives killing over 45 and 50 years old because of stress and things. Learn to have fun and plan your time and plan your life. Plan days off. Plan vacations. Our superintendent, and I'll never forget when I first joined the Free Methodist, he sent out an email to all the pastors, don't forget to have fun and take your vacation. I thought, I appreciate the email, but you don't have to tell me to have fun and remember my vacation. I look forward to time off with my wife and having fun. And so those three things: decide that you'll be a lifelong learner, be there, be seize the day where you are, and plan your life and work your plan. And let me tell you this before I turn it over to our speaker. When you have a life is closed you in and everything around you seems sort of bleak and heavy, I want you to call me. Say, Pastor, it's me. And I'm just having that kind of day. And I'll promise you a listening ear and biblical advice if I can, whatever I can muster up through the prayer and through the Holy Spirit. So feel free to call me. And know that when you leave this place, and some of you won't be leaving, some of you will be staying here, but when you leave, I'll still be your pastor, okay? And I'll pastor you as long as you need one until you find that home church and are established in that. And finally, I've written this: when uncertainties in life are closing in, you need a listening ear, just call me and we'll talk. It's been such a pleasure watching you grow and mature in Christ. Be true to yourself, be true to your call from God, and remember, many things in life will catch your eye, but only a few things will capture your heart. Give yourselves to the things that capture your heart. And one final thought is this: there's an old saying that says, if you walk by and you see a turtle on a fence post, you just know that he's had some help getting there. And you and I are like a turtle on a fence post. Wherever you go, I can guarantee you, you're going to need some help getting there. You've helped this church get to where we are today by using your gifts and talents. And somebody will come alongside you, just like my youth pastor this morning was ministering to me and getting microphones, and the song directors were changing songs and getting, you know, somebody helped us to get to this point. And so somebody will help you. So invite that help in. We're all like turtles on a fence post, and we need help along the way. And congratulations for graduating and achieving this milestone in your life. God bless you.